You know, we have this this new system, this new inner ear thing, and this is my first time using it. We started it last week, but it's kind of been making me a little nervous this week. And last night, as I went to bed, I woke up at about 4 o'clock, and I couldn't stop thinking about these little ear monitors, and I couldn't stop thinking about me doing the welcome, because I was like, oh, I'm just so nervous about everything that's going to go on. So I was up for about an hour, and I fell back asleep, and I dreamed completely about everything that goes on up here on stage. It was just, everybody was here. It was so random. But I was in the back, and I had a hat on, and I had it on backwards. And as I got ready to come out, I was like, oh, I got a hat. I got to take my hat off. And one of the guys, I don't recall which one, they were like, dude, your hair looks terrible. You got to wear the hat. So I was like, all right, I'm going to wear the hat. So I came out with a backwards hat on, and I was thinking about what, you know, I didn't really know what I was going to say for the welcome, but this was what my welcome was. It was like, I know I have a hat on, and I grew up in a church where if I had a hat on, that everybody here would be like, oh my gosh, he's got a hat on, man. What are we going to do? He's got blue jeans on and a hat. And what I got out of that was when I woke up, I was like, what in the world was that all about? And then I was like, you know, I think I need to say that. And what I want to say is, in welcoming you to Eagles Way, is whether you have a hat on, whether you have jeans on, whether you wear shorts or flip-flops in the summer, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get judged here at Eagles Way. You're going to get loved. My wife, she's not here yet, but she is very adamant on dressing up on Sundays. So she wears a dress most Sundays. Matter of fact, she wore jeans a couple Sundays ago, and she was really worried about it. She kept asking me. I'm like, honey, I wear jeans every Sunday. It's okay. So to each his own, and you make the decision. Isn't that great? You can make the decision on what you want to wear, because here at Eagles Way, you're not going to get judged. I can promise you that. I woke up, and then I started to do my little devotional, and it just happened to say, don't be so controlling. And I was like, oh, that kind of goes along with my dream. And I just want to read a piece of it, and then we'll stand and worship. But it says, it calls for focusing on Jesus rather than obsessing on the other person's behavior. You will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's in Isaiah. Fix your thoughts on God, not others. Letting go means caring about instead of caretaking. It means stepping out of the middle and not trying to influence the outcome by fixing, judging, nagging, scolding, arguing, criticizing, and regulating. It's about facing each day with God's help and cherishing each moment. It's about realizing the only person you can change is yourself. It's about fearing less and trusting more, and it's the only way to be happy. Let's stand and let's worship Him this morning. There in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountain top, there in the every day and the mundane, there in the sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds. There on a wedding day, there in the weeping by the graveside,
fire in the very breath we breathe. Your great grace. Same for the rich and poor. Same for the saint and for the sinner. Thankful that you always seek after us, Father. We give you praise this morning.
Won't relent. as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave.
My heart is yours.
When oceans rise, my soul rests in your embrace. I am yours, and you.
Rise, my soul. Psalm 62, starting at verse 5, my soul, wait thou in silence for God only, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my high tower. I shall not be moved. With God as my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge, it is in God. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
It is.
it is well with me.
Thank you, Jesus, for the hope that you give us in this world where the reality is if you don't do the right thing, you will not experience success. But I'm so thankful that your gift of salvation is what gives us hope so we don't have to be afraid. You make this life so beautiful. We love you so much. We give you all of our praise this morning. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. How cool. Yesterday, or actually this weekend, both Friday and Saturday, we had over 40 volunteers involved in Rushton Hope and the food pantry and sowing and giving into the lives of people in our city. I think that deserves just a hand clap and applaud. Sharon Stevens has kind of taken over calling and checking on some of those volunteers to make sure that if you've signed up that you know where to be and when to be. And I think yesterday was the first time we've ever had maybe too many volunteers at one particular location. So that is the best problem I will ever deal with. So we can keep that up each and every time. It's incredible. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I want to remind you that this Friday night is our concert, return concert, an opportunity for you to come and hear some Beatles music. And invite a friend. Invite someone who is unchurched or has never your thought maybe about inviting them to church. This is a great way to get them here. Tickets are still on sale. There are a few left. There's not a ton, but there are a few. We need to sell those. At the door, I believe, even though we've sold the 200, there are going to sell a few more tickets. It will still be $20, but you will not get a meal if you come at the door. You will get a meal if you buy your ticket in advance. So ladies need to know that are decorating the tables that you can come anytime Thursday from 9 a.m. to 7 to decorate your table, or Friday, you have from 9 to 12. So it needs to be done by that. If you've committed to decorating a table, we want to make sure that you get that done. Also, at the information booth, if you got your picture made for the directory, you should have already received one of these. If you didn't, make sure you stop by and get one, because I am now opening it up to anyone else that maybe didn't get your picture made, but you would like a church directory. You can stop by the information booth and grab one of those. They are available. Let's pray and let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come and we can worship. We thank you, Lord, that you pour into us, Lord, as we worship you. Lord, we thank you for these tithes and the offerings and the alms. We ask you, for Father, Lord, to bless it to the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Right. How's everybody? Good. One's great, and the rest of you just. Right. I really feel today that you're here, all of us are here for a specific reason, but there are some people here who need to hear a specific word, very specific word. So I'm just going to pray before we get into this and just ask the Lord to do that. Father, we thank you for the time we come together to worship you, to hear your voice, to magnify your name. And we pray for every person here that, Lord, as we all listen and we all are attentive, Lord, to your voice, that for those who need a special word, maybe of direction even, or just, I just thank you that your Holy Spirit will speak to us in a very specific way today. In Christ's name, amen. We're in a series launching this year called Vision, and Bible says, well, for the lack of vision, lack of knowledge, people perish, and the Bible talks a lot about why we need vision. He always gave men and women vision, and that vision gave them purpose. That's what vision does. Vision gives us purpose, and the most important thing in our lives on this planet is purpose. I'm asked sometimes, especially as I'm getting my age, is when you're going to lay it down, when you're going to retire. And I just tell people when God says to, because I got this deep down feeling that if I stop just because I want to stop and I'm not fulfilling my purpose, He just might say, well, you just can come on home, son. If you're not going to fulfill your purpose, I love you, and I just lended you to the earth for a period of time. And so when you feel it's time to give up, and come on home, we'll just rejoice together. So I want to give you the three principles again. I've shared this every week. Three principles I want you to know for this year. And I want you to keep these for the rest of this year. I really believe that God spoke to me as a year of launching. That it's time to launch into some ministries. It's time to launch into some relationships. Maybe it's time for you to launch into spiritual living. Maybe it's time for you to launch into a spiritual intensity that you haven't had in a long time. Maybe it's time for you to launch into attending church or doing some things that you haven't done on a consistent basis for a long time. Whatever it is, I want you to know this, for the principle you need to know, you got to press the button. You got to flip the switch. If you're going to launch, you got to just make the decision. I tell people often that come to me, the Bible talks about a valley of decision. A valley of decision could be one of the worst places you can be in. And sometimes, and listen to this carefully, sometimes making the wrong decision is better than making no decision. For at least if you make the wrong decision, you know you made the wrong decision. Therefore, you can go back and make the right decision. As long as that decision is not leading you to sin. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about making decisions. So sometimes that valley can be very irritating and very troubling. And we need to get to the place where, you know what? I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to walk on the water. I'm going to flip the switch. I'm going to blast this rocket ship off. Second principle, understand, it's all about little things. Say little things. Not the big things, church. It's the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so don't despise the little things, because that's what causes the vision to be fulfilled, is the little things you take care of in your life. I found out after 40-some-odd years of marriage, it hasn't been the big things that bothered us. We triumphed over every big thing that's ever come our way. What we have to deal with on a daily basis is the little things. It's the little things that ruin relationships that we just don't take care of. Like saying, I love you. Like being kind. Like helping out around the house. Like, yeah. You ladies should have just, whoo! Something said something. Now, third principle is this. Launching, little things, and same things. It's okay to do the same things over and over and over again. I agree with the motivational speakers today who say that doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results is insanity. I agree with that over a lot of things. But there are some things it's awesome to do the same thing over and over again, right? I am glad I take a shower every day. And my wife is glad I do the same thing every day. There's nothing wrong with doing the same things. Our mission statement has been for years and will be for years, accept everyone by showing God's unfailing truth, mercy, and love. And the key to that word, that statement, is unfailing. Say unfailing. It means it's new every morning. When God placed it in our heart years ago that this would be where we are, this would be what would be our statement for years and years and years, that we would do that because God does that. Because God accepts everybody. His unfailing love and mercy, His truth, love, and mercy is every day, every single day. He never gets tired of doing that. Aren't you glad of that? And I've lost people over that statement right there. That one statement, because some people don't believe don't want to accept everybody. Some people just don't want to do it. But this is what I've said in the past. I say it again. We grow tomatoes around here. If you want corn, you got to go somewhere else and get corn. This is a tomato church. I don't know what that means, but I'm simply saying this is what we do. Our vision is this. And our mission statement is what we're doing. This is what we're becoming. See, this, you know, you can do one thing, but this is what we're becoming. This is something that's ongoing all the time. Fully devoted to Christ. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Fully devoted to Christ. And we talked about what that really means. Irrevocably committed to one another. And one thing I love about this church is that part of this church is an A+ year after year after year. It's irrevocably committed to one another. Amen. passionate about reaching the lost. Passionate about reaching the lost. Now I want to talk today about not, first of all, you have to have passion for the lost or you never will reach them. You got to love them. You got to love lost people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he whosoever would believe would have everlasting life. And so, but what I want to talk about today is I believe you are passionate. I believe you have compassion for lost people. I want to talk today, how can we reach them? How can we reach the lost? Now, I believe in a lot of different programs. There's a lot of different avenues that people have gone down to do this. I remember years ago when I was a real young man, and a man came into our church, and he was a pastor that was in between churches, and he told me, he said, I'm going to help you build this church. We're going to go get the lost. And I said, well, good, let's do that. And he said, well, meet me up here Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and every day this week we're going, knocking on doors. And for a week, we knocked on, I don't know how many doors. I don't know how many I got slammed in my face. I don't know, but I tell you this, I did not reach one lost person. Nobody came to church. It was very discouraging after all that work that we were doing. Am I against that? No, I'm not against that. It just hadn't worked for me. I used to admire it. I was always curious about. You don't see this too often now, but street preachers. Anybody ever seen a street preacher? I mean, they just standing downtown on a corner and they just start preaching. That amazes me. I could never do that. I just could never do that. But they just get and they preach. I remember a few years ago, it was real hot summer, and Dr. Ken was. Where was it? It was close to Walmart somewhere on the corner that guy was preaching. Yeah, and he was just, it was summertime, and he was just sweating, pouring sweat. Well, Ken went and got him a soda drink full of ice and brought it to him, gave it to him, and I think, help me not to repeat it right, he said, what did he say? Something like, thank you, but you're still going to hell. Do you remember something? Thank you for the drink, but that's you can still go to hell if you don't, you know, straighten up. Well, I don't know if that's a better way to do it. Now, I want to give you what I believe. I know, not I believe, I know is the right way to reach the lost. Are you ready? Say it with me. Be salt. Be light. Be good. Be salt. Be light. Be good. If you're salt and you're light and you're good, you'll reach the lost. Because that's what it's all about. It's what he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you would be witnesses. He didn't say you would do it. You would be it. Because you can do it. The Bible says that you could give your body to be burned. But if you don't have love, that means nothing. You could have faith so you could remove mountains, but if you don't have love, you don't have nothing. And so there's a lot of things we can do, but he says if you're not being what God called us to be, then all that doing is not going to have any fruit. And so Jesus says, I want you to be the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled upon foot as worthless. Now, I want to say this in a way. If when our lives lose their purpose, when our lives lose the purpose that God put us on this earth for, we're useless. When we get away from the purpose that God have got us here for, the greatest compliment I believe you can give anybody is to say to them, they're the salt of the earth. You know, where'd that come from? Why are you saying that person's the salt of the earth? They're saying something very good about them, right? That person, and I love, there's three characteristics of salt that I believe is so important. Number one characteristic of salt, it's pure. is pure. It's the sun and it's the sea. It's pure. And it's not pure because it's white. It's pure because of the qualities of it. And when Jesus had just gone through the Beatitudes and telling people what the attitude ought to be, and I believe that your attitude will always determine the altitude for which you fly in life, if you will. And he tells them all these Beatitudes, and when he gets through with that, he says to them, you're the salt of the earth. You have raised the bar. How many know that people need to see a people who raise the bar, who don't live as the way everybody else lives, who don't think the way everybody else thinks, who doesn't respond to things the way everybody else responds, but they act differently, they think differently, and they speak differently. We have to raise the bar. Number two, it preserves. Back then, they didn't have refrigerators, and the only way to preserve meat was to salt it down. And it preserved. We are the salt of the earth, and we preserve the earth. As long as the church is here, the earth is preserved. There's a story in Genesis, and Lot is in Gomorrah with his family. And the angel comes and says to Lot, says to Abraham, the city's going to be destroyed. And Abraham said, if I can find 50 righteous people in Gomorrah, would you spare the city? He said, if you find 50, I'll spare the city. And he said, well, whoa. If I can find 45 in the city, will you preserve the city? Will you spare the city? I will for 45. He goes on down this long list from 45 to 40. He says, how about 30? I'll do it for 30. 20, I'll do it for 20. And he gets down to 10. What if there's 10 people in the city? Would you spare it for 10 people? He says, I'll spare it for 10. I don't know why he stopped there. Because I believe had he gone on down, maybe God would have spared the city. Because there were some righteous people in that city. And Lot and his family are spared, and they're taken out of the city. And you know the story. Most of you, I'm sure, know the story. They come out of the city, and Lot's wife turns around to look at the city burning and became a pillar of salt. I believe that what happened to her was symbolic of the fact that she potentially was that much salt. And when we realize that we really are the salt of the earth and we really are the preservants of this world, of this earth, and she failed to reach her potential, although the potential was there, she was a pillar of salt. And I don't believe he turned her into a pillar of salt. You know, why didn't she just drop dead like a lot of things happen when someone was judged for something in the scriptures? Why did she turn to a pillar of salt? Because I believe he's saying, potentially, that's who you are. Potentially, you are a pillar of salt. My favorite thing about salt, though, it adds flavor. It makes things taste so much better. I told you the story years ago when Barbara got us unsalted ketchup. I didn't know there's such thing. Did you know there's such thing as unsalted ketchup? I ate this for about a month, and I was eating one day, and I said to Barbara, I said, something's wrong with me. She said, well, I said, my taste buds, I can't taste anymore. This ketchup, I can't taste this ketchup. And she said, it's unsalted ketchup. I looked at her, what do you mean unsalted? She said, it doesn't have salt in it. And I took a little salt and I just sprinkled it on the ketchup and I tasted it. I went, wow, there it is. There's my hunts. There it is. Just that little salt. I was up in New York, upstate New York, me and Ken, and was going out to eat, and Philip Papabothany from India was going to this couple's house, and he looked at me, he says, little portions. And I said, what? He said, little portions, get little portions. And I'm starving. I get there, and it's upstate New York Southern cooking. I mean, it's meat, potatoes, it's all the good stuff, you know. And I just pile my plate. It was the worst meal I've ever put in my mouth because it was so bland. And I'll never forget, if there had been a dog, I would have fed that dog. I was looking, because there's no way I could finish that, because it had lost its flavor. Constantine, let me read you some things I read this week. It's pretty cool. Constantine made Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. Another emperor called Julian came to the throne who wished to put the clocks back and bring back the old gods. His complaint was, have you looked at Christians lately? Hollow-eyed, pale-cheeked, they brood their lives away, unspurred by ambition. The sun shines for them, but they don't see it. The earth offers them its fullness, but they don't desire it. All they desire is to renounce and to suffer, that they may come to die. Not much of a salt of the earth, is it? Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted like undertakers. Robert Louis Stevenson, no, you, Keith. Robert Louis Stevenson once entered in his diary as if he was recording an extraordinary phenomenon. I have been to church today and am not depressed. I've been to church today and I'm not depressed. He says, I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to be a preservative of the earth. I want you to add flavor to life. I want you to smile. I want you to be happy. I want you to be an ingredient that causes people to want to be a believer, want to be a Christian. I want to, because I see your life, and your life is so good. That's why I want to be that. And that's one of the greatest ways to reach the lost. Be the salt. Be who God intended for you to be. Second of all, be light. Jesus said in 5:14, you're the light of the world. You're like a city that's set on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Wow. Let your light so shine by what? By doing good deeds. By being an example of what you're supposed to be. And that was the light. Here's the main thing about the light. How many know Jesus was the light of the world? And so Jesus, the light of the world, takes his light, and as it were, he just lights you up. He lights your candle. But to be the light of the world, you got to be like Christ was. And Christ was not judgmental. Christ was compassionate. He loved everybody. He showed that love everywhere he went. And so he was that great, great light. And he did not say, be the light of the church. He said, be the light of what? The world. Now, here, and this is where so many people lose it and they don't understand. The world is not the earth. The world is not a physical thing. The world in the Greek is cosmos. It's the way people think. And it's the way they behave. He said, I want you to be a light that thinks and behaves differently than what everybody else does. Now, here's how you can do that. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, dear friends, you always follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard, or work out, to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. I want to back up with this to show you. Crooked and perverse people. I don't know, but crooked and perverse sounds really bad. You agree? Especially perverse. Let me give you the Greek for crooked and perverse. Crooked, they make life difficult. What did Jesus say? I've come to make the crooked paths straight. I mean, it's a whole lot easier to just go straight than have to go down the crooked path. And so crooked is simply, life is just hard and more difficult than it ought to be. The way of the transgressor is hard. He says, so if you'll do this, then you'll be a light to a crooked people who just, life is just hard for them. God didn't want you to have a difficult, hard life. He really doesn't. He really, really doesn't. I know I came up to where a lot of people, the worse that off they were and the sadder they were and the poorer they were and the most and the harder it was, then I must be living right. No. It's just the opposite. The way of the transgressor is hard. Perverse. Perverse means to distort, to twist. It's turning laughter into mourning, and it's turning joy into heaviness. So it says, I want you to work out. I like the old King James, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, fear and trembling is not fear and trembling that God's going to come down on you. Fear and trembling is that you fear and tremble to the place that you're so afraid that you'll miss out on what you really ought to be on this earth. Now, here's what he said. God is working in you. He gives you the desire or the will. And he gives you the power. God gives you the desire. God gives you the power. You have to do. God's in you, giving you the power, giving you the desire, but you have to do. You know, I help out a lot around the house. Well, I help out a lot around the house. I do. I do a lot of washing. I do most of the vacuum because I just don't like Barbara having to vacuum. It's just, just don't like her having to do it. I have a big, heavy vacuum cleaner, and I like to do it. And I was sick over Christmas, and Dusty had bought me a thing to put my rod and reels in. And so I'd taken it outside and leaned it up against the car and forgot it was there, and I backed over it and busted the box all up. And So one day, about 2 days after Christmas, I brought it in, was going to put it together, and I was sitting in my chair, and I was wondering if it was going to be broken, and it wasn't. I was able to put it together and it wasn't broken. But it had all these little styrofoam stuff that I had busted all up. And the right around my chair looked like there had snow, just all this styrofoam there. And I had the power. I even had the desire. I had the power and the desire to get that up. I really did. I'm strong enough to go get that vacuum cleaner. I got the power. I got the desire because I really want it vacuumed up. And it was so funny. It was like every time I walked by the closet, I'm expecting the vacuum cleaner to just jump out. You know, it's just going to jump out and go over there and vacuum it up. Well, after about a week, literally about a week, Dusty, she came in. She knows this is not me. And she looked down and she said, Daddy, would you go vacuum that up? And you know what? I had the power and I had the desire, but you know what I had to do? Open the closet, pull it out, plug it in, and work it. Ralph Martin says over and over again, a vacuum only works if you work it. This stuff doesn't work if you don't work it. And there's a such thing as you got to do what the Scripture says to do. We have to work it out. And if we do, we'll be a light that shines in a dark place. And we'll be in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. And he says, arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and peers over you. And all nations will what? Come to your light. And many kings will come to see your radiance. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're the light of the world. And last but not least, be good. That's why he said in 5:16, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. I want you to listen closely to this. This word good is kalos. It's not only good, but it's a winsome good. It's a beautiful good. It's an attractive good. You ever seen somebody do something good, but there wasn't anything attractive about it? It was the right thing to do, and it's a good thing, but it wasn't winsome. I can't think of an illustration right now, but you'll see it happen this week, Sherman. You'll remember. That's what he's talking about. Maybe it's an attitude they did a good thing in. Maybe it was doing a good thing because they wanted somebody else to see them do a good thing. The Bible says, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Some people do good things just to be seen of men. Jesus said, don't do good things to be seen of men. He said, do good things they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's a huge difference in that. There's another word for good, agathos, and it's good in quality, but it's not winsome. It has no attractiveness to it. And he says, I want you to have this goodness about you that's not just doing the right thing, but it's winsome and attractive. You know, years ago, one of the things that I had to become as a minister, as a teacher and preacher of the word, was how I read the scriptures. As important as it is how I interpret the scriptures, it's important how I say the scriptures. So I want you to stand with me, and this is what I want to do this morning. God didn't want life difficult. You're going to go through some times, and you're going to go through some situations. It's going to be difficult, but he's here to get you through it, right? But an ongoing life of difficulty and hardness, that's not God's plan and God's will. That saltiness back. You need to get that flavor back, if you will, that people want to be around you. Maybe it's a relationship that you need. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to come and stand across this front. And we're going to pray and believe God that the Holy Spirit is going to be so clear to you that you're going to know that you know that you know exactly what you ought to do. A priest in the Old Testament, there was a time they carried the Urim and the Thummim, and that was simply a yes or a no. And I believe that spirit's here today just to give you a yes or a no, because that's what you need. And so if you come and stand, I believe the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, will be so clear to you that you'll know yea and you'll know no. You'll know it. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. You know you need to intensify your relationship with God. You know you need to get fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. This could be the year of launching. This could be the year that you launch into areas of life that you have dreamt about, but you never have been able to get there. You know, I just need a new beginning. I just need a new beginning. To the side here to make the straight line. Let's let them get in the line just where it's straight. If you come over this side, make sure you just stand it. Because I want one person to come stand behind each one of these people. Just somebody leads you to one of these people. One person come and stand behind each one of these people. You know, it's just not anything like getting an answer. Don't you look at me a moment, because the old King James says, work out your salvation. It's literally, in the Greek, a mathematical term, that you work the problem out until you get the answer. Until you get the answer. And there's nothing, I mean, isn't it thrilling in life when you work something out and when you finally get the answer? You don't know the answer, but man, I got the answer. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to work it out through you, that you have the answer. There's nothing like having the answer. Nothing like hearing God speak. I asked the Lord about several things beginning of this year, and actually toward the end of last year to this year. I just asked Him what He wanted me to do about certain things. I'm not going to share that with you. It's personal with me. I ask Him what I need to do about this, this. It's just two or three things. But God spoke one specific thing to me that just so thrilled me. And it was a real simple thing. He said, I want you to do this. And it's about ministry. He said, I want you to do this. And it's clear as a bell. And I've done it. I decided I'm doing that this year. That's a prevalent thing in my heart and my mind to do week after week after week. And so, Father, we stand with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Lord, we agree together. You said in your word, where any two agree on earth is touching anything they ask, it shall be done of the Father in heaven. And so, Lord, I thank you that you've given every one of us the power. You've given us, Lord, the desire. But we have to determine to decide that we're going to do it. That we're going to plug it in, we're going to turn it on, and we're going to walk it out. And so, Father, I thank you through Christ and the Holy Spirit for all that you do for us. But, Lord, it's just as important as what you do through us. And we must do it now. We must do it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, I want you to look at me for a moment. This parable Jesus said over and over again, I don't know, it always puzzled me a little bit. But Jesus real quickly looked at a crowd one day and he said, a man had two sons. And he said to one son, go and work in my vineyard. He said, I'm not going. And he went. Other one, he said, go work in my vineyard. And he said, I'll go. He didn't go. Jesus says, who did the Father's will? The one who said, I won't go, but did go. Here's what I got out of that. There's a lot of times people say, the most important thing is not the will. That's great, but it's not the most important. Most important that you do it. Because I don't know about you, but I said some things to God. I got scared a while ago when I said I'd never preach on the street corner. I did. I just want to back up on that. I said to myself, I kind of was, if you saw me get lost up here a little while ago, that's where I got lost, because I was inside battling. Because I've said that before, I won't do that, and did it. I did it. I said, I'll never do that, and I did it. And that's more important. Don't you hear that? That's more important. It's more important than saying, I'm not going to do it, and doing it. You see, there have been some times in your life that the enemy's made you feel guilty, maybe because, you know, inside you said, you know, I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. What God's interested in is not what you're saying you won't do. He's interested in what you're going to do. And so even though sometimes you just did it, God bless you. God bless you. So if you see me preaching on a street corner one day, or God, but you better bring me more than water. What's your name? Daniel? This is your first time here. God's got something special for you. This is your wife, girlfriend.
The newborn cry. We're there in the light of every sunrise. We're there in the shadows of this life. Your great grace. It's there on the mountaintop. There in the everyday and the sorrow and dancing, your great grace, such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace. I'm breathing in your grace. For
Sunday.